Well, I hope you know you're here today because you're important to somebody. And we've been doing this probably the last 7-8 years, setting aside one of our services each year to kind of celebrate those people in our lives who are important to us. And that's why you have been invited here today, because you are important to us. And you are important to God. And He's the center of all we do. He's the foundation of everything we plan, everything we think about, our actions, and according to His Word. So we just want to take a pause a moment and just invite His Holy Spirit to be evident here today as we celebrate the very important people in our lives. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank You for making Yourself known to us. I want to thank You that You are the most very important person in our lives. And You have called us friend. We can't understand it. We don't understand how, in our condition, You can consider us Your friend, but You call us friend. And we thank You and we praise You for that. And I just pray Your blessing upon our time together this morning as we celebrate the important friendships in our lives and those people that are so important to us. May it all be to Your honor and glory, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there are so many times that we can know a lot of people and yet still feel so very alone. All you have to do is pick up one of those magazines that you see in the grocery store along the checkout line. Talks about this celebrity couple splitting up and this one overdosing on drugs. And I mean, so many people think that celebrities have the world at their feet. And yet they're so alone. Now, I don't know where each of you are this morning in that whole realm of feeling alone or not, but I know we go through those cycles in our lives when we feel very alone. And those who are Christ followers, there's times in their lives that you don't feel the presence of God. And you start questioning, God, are You really there? And it's those times that by faith, we have to grab on to who He is, and we have to grab on to those friendships. Because otherwise, we can feel very much alone in that. And so, I have a very important people quiz that I want to ask you this morning, some questions. And the first question I want to ask you is there anybody in here who can name the 5 wealthiest people in the world? Now, the one does not count. It's got to be all 5. Anybody name all 5? Me either. How about the last 5 Heisman Trophy winners? Not just the last one, but the last 5. I didn't think so. How about the past 5 winners of Miss America? No? Okay. How about 10 Nobel or Pulitzer Prize winners, and President Obama does not count. He's 1 of 10, but we need all 10. I didn't think so. How about the last 6 winners for the Best Actor Award, Academy Awards? I don't think so. Or the last 10 World Series winners? A lot of Yankee haters here. But you understand, fame is fleeting. You know, we can't even seriously remember 2, 3, 4, 5 cycles ago of any of these award winners. They have their 15 minutes of fame, and then it goes away. You know, I could have said, how about the last 5 most beautiful people winners, or whatever that People magazine puts out, or sexiest man alive, whatever those ones they could put out. You know, yeah, we can remember this year's, because we're in tune with that, but the fame is so fleeting. Now, there's a second page to this quiz, and my kids at school love this when there's 2 pages to a quiz. But this one's a little bit easier. Can you name your favorite teacher? Some of you say, I didn't have one. Well, that tells me a lot too. Most of us can think of that one teacher that really impacted us in our journey through school. How about, can you name your three best friends? Some of you say, I don't have any. That tells us some more about you. It's the same one that doesn't have a favorite teacher. No, and Larry, Moe, and Curly do not count. But we can name our best friends. Can you name someone you appreciate? Sure you can. Can be a family member, can be a good friend, someone that you really appreciate. How about five people you enjoy spending time with? You know, they're just fun to hang out. And as I tell my kids at school, when we have that attitude of gratitude, and as we discussed last week with Pastor Bob, it creates an environment. When you are thankful, it creates an environment that is very inviting and pleasing to other people. And so we like to hang out with people, and you can name those people. I know you can. Someone you look up to. And I'm sure. I didn't hear his response. Forget it. I was going to bet that one that we don't look up to in this part of the country anymore is Alex Rodriguez, but, you know, I can't compete with the high school kid up here, so. This might be a stretch for some of you also. Your favorite relative. Guys, it's the mother-in-law, right?
Yeah.
All right. James 1:17 puts it this way. It says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So one thing I want to be real clear with you this morning about is every good thing that happens in your life is a gift from God.
Amen.
Every friend that has crossed your path and has become a part of you is a gift from God. And that's the way we view friendship here. And that's why friendship is the most important thing. Let me tell you what, the foundation, we said it's the Word of God and it's relationship with God, but the foundation of that is what Jesus Christ taught in the New Testament when he said, here's what it's all about, folks. Forget what Pharisees are saying, forget everything else you've heard, here is what it's all about. You love your Creator, love God with all your being, and love each other. And we look around our world now, and we think, man, there's so many of these problems where love and acceptance could be the solution to them. And yet we're so stubborn, so bullheaded that we just keep doing this the whole time. My way or the highway. My agenda, not yours. But every good and perfect gift comes down from God. Now, there are a lot of gifts talked about throughout Scripture. 1 Corinthians 12:4-7 and verse 11 says there's different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. So, you know, some of us are gifted musically. Some of us are gifted scientifically. There's doctors in here. I don't know if there's any lawyers in here or not, but there's doctors in here, and there's teachers in here, and there's, you know, different people that work for the state. We're gifted differently, but all those gifts, Scripture says, comes from the Father. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. So everybody is gifted differently. I saw a great video a few years ago. I went to the computer convention that is offered to educators, and some high school had produced this video, and it was done really well. You know, this kid storming around, he was like a senior in high school, and he's saying, man, if everybody could just be like me. And he goes to sleep in the video, and when he wakes up, here's his mother waking him up, and it looks just like him. He walks out, and there's his dad and siblings, and they look just like him. He goes to school, and all 1,500 students at that school look just like him. And he realizes very quickly, this isn't as cool as I thought it would be, everyone to be like me. We need the variety. We need the differences. Again, and this is from Matthew 25, a parable that Jesus told. It will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To the one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. And the rest of that story goes on. When the master came back, he asked each one of them, "What'd you do with the money?" And to the ones who reproduced more, 5 more and the 2 more, he said, "Well done." To the one who buried it, because he was afraid of his master, he said, "You wicked and evil servant." And yet there's so many of us that we don't realize the talents, or we realize our talent and we bury them. We don't use them according to what God has given us. That gift which is from above, all good gifts come from above. And so God is asking us, God is commanding us to exercise the gifts that he gives us, to have them grow, to reproduce them. And friendship is one of those. Serving is one of those. And that is what has brought many of you to be invited here this morning, because of the friendship that you've established with someone who regularly attends here, and because of the impact that you've had in their life. You know, some of you are co-workers, and I know in talking to many of you, you go, I just can't imagine working in that place without so-and-so. They help me through the day. They help me through the week. We are able to be confidants. We share so many common interests. Some of you have invited family members because that family member is very special to you. Some, you know, neighbors, but all linked all through the act of friendship where that importance is established. Proverbs 18:24 says, "A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." And again, that's a description that fits many of you here this morning, because you are that person that someone who's stuck at the airport at 2 o'clock in the morning calls and says, "Help. Can you help me?" You are that person who, when they run out of gas and it's the middle of the night, they call you and say, "Help." And sometimes it's not always fun to be that person, but it's a great honor to be that person. And that's why in this Thanksgiving season, you should be giving thanks that they called you at 2 o'clock in the morning to come to their aid and to help them. A friend that sticks closer than a brother. Hebrews 13:5, "Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have, for God has said, 'I will never fail you. I will never abandon you.'" And I don't know that we have that proper picture of God in all of our minds this morning, because sometimes we feel like, okay, when I'm good, yeah, God's there. When I'm bad, he goes away. You know, there were times I grew up in a fairly conservative state of my life that I believed if I went into a movie theater, God, guardian angels, man, they all left me. They abandoned me like a bad habit. And I came to realize as I grew into maturity and as an adult, that is not true. And the reason I know that's not true is because of this text in Colossians 1:27, "To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." So when God says, "I will never leave you, I will never forsake you or abandon you," it's because he's here. He lives inside of you. Christ is in you. And so when we look at other people, we look for the Christ. We look for that Christ in each other person. And then we stop finding faults. Then we stop judging people as being not worthy because Christ is then them. You know, we talk about that a lot here. When we get cut off on the freeway, we don't know what's going on in that person's life. I heard the story of somebody who was trying to drive from Seattle to the Grays Harbor area, Aberdeen. And they happened to be driving a Lamborghini. And they were cruising. They were going 120 miles an hour down the freeway. They were going so fast, the police did not even catch up with them. And come to find out, it took them about 50 minutes or so to get from Seattle to Aberdeen. That's how fast they were going. The gentleman who was driving a car, his mother was dying, and he was trying to get there before she died. We don't know what's going on in people's lives. But through that perception, through that seeing through the eyes of God, the Christ in each person, we become much more tolerant, much more patient with each other. And so, what that brings us to this morning is the purpose we have invited you. Not only do we want to feed you after we're done here, and let me tell you what, those of you who have not experienced anyone, the cooks here at WinWorks Fellowship, I want to tell you, there are some cooks here at WinWorks Fellowship. We love to do a lot of things with food, involving food here, and they've learned their art and trade well. But we want to take a few moments, and those of you who have invited people, I would ask you to come up. We're going to give just as a token of our appreciation for you, we want to give each person a rose. And so if the person you have invited has a favorite color, you may want to find that out before you come up here. And we want to give each person one of those. And some people have prepared a little thank you in the form of a card that they want to share with you also. So we want to take just a few moments and share with those with you at this time. Okay. We have just a brief statement here, and then there's a video I'd like to show you that really ties in this whole idea of commitment and friendship and leaning on each other.
I asked the pastor if I could speak. Can you hear me? If I had a million roses, I would like to give you one, because I stand before you today when I face the death of the gates of hell and heaven and death. I want to thank you for your prayers. I was able to drive up here from Oregon. I'm able to get up every day. My blood sugar's under control, and all of it's because you prayed. So I take my rose and multiply it to say thank you for being a church of prayer.
Thank you. Just an amazing story. And it's my personal opinion that not only is that what friendship should be all about, but it's also what church should be all about. We don't need to go to church to be made to feel worse. We need to go to church to know that there's hope, that we're not alone. One of my favorite stories, I told the kids at school this one. In fact, every year I tell them because it has a significant importance to me. I used to be quite involved with Special Olympics. And, you know, Special Olympics are for those kids who are developmentally disabled and some physically disabled. And I used to referee wheelchair basketball, work with track and field. And I came across this true story of a group of developmentally disabled kids who were competing in the 200-meter dash. Now, the 200-meter dash usually starts on the beginning of one curve, and it ends down at the beginning of the next curve, half lap. And so the start is staggered, and they stagger it because you have to run in your lane the whole way around the track. And in this one particular race, these eight young Special Olympians lined up to start this race, the starter's gun went off, and as they were running the corner, the young person out in lane eight stumbled and fell, crashed and burned. And just a remarkable thing happened. as the other seven young athletes started to pass, and they all saw, because it staggered, it was the furthest one out on the stagger, they all saw this young person crash and burn. And as they started to pass, they heard this youngster crying, because the neat thing about Special Olympians, you know how they feel, because they let it out. And they heard this young person crying, and one by one, all seven of these other kids stopped running. And one by one, they went over and helped the one who had crashed and burned to get back up on their feet. And then the most remarkable thing happened. All eight of those kids joined hands, ran the rest of the race together, and finished together. That is what friendship is about. That is what church is about. And that's what we desire in our relationships with other people. From day one, we somehow fell into a theme song for this church. This is our coming up to the end of our ninth year. We'll be starting our 10th year of existence on January 1. And right from day one, we embraced this song as our theme song. And it has a special significance for those of us who have been here for the whole 10 years. It's a song that's going to be familiar probably to everyone in this room, and a song that I just want to invite you to sing with us, because we believe church should be a place where we celebrate the good things together and we mourn and comfort each other with the things that go wrong in each other's lives. We want it to be a place where we can lean on each other. Not a bad theme song, is it? If we can just have that relationship, and that's why you're invited. That's the kind of relationship people feel they have with you, that they can lean on you and you can lean on them as needed. Thank you so much for being here. What I want to do is I'm going to kind of offer our ending prayer, and it's also going to serve as the prayer for blessing the food for those of you who are able to stay by and eat with us. And I certainly would love to have all of you stay and get a chance to know you a little bit better, and the relationship between you and the person who invited you. So when the food is out and ready, then we'll just have people start through. So thank you for being here. Thank you for being a part of it. You are a very important person. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, everyone in this room is one of the most important people to you, because you gave your son Jesus to come and die for each one of us. I cannot understand such a great gift for just one of us, for just me, for just you. But you've also given us the gift of friendship, and that gift has allowed us to come to know each other and to grow in that relationship as we share this journey together. And we just want to be in that kind of position to be able to lean on each other, as we just sang. No matter what, lean on each other through the good times, lean on each other through the bad times. That's what we want our legacy to be when we leave this earth, that we were a good friend to someone else. Now as we leave here, I pray your blessing upon each family. As we go to eat, I pray your blessing upon the food and the hands that prepared it. May we continue to bring honor and glory to your name, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks again for being a part, and stay by and eat with us. Extravagant.